Welcome to BFN Radio's Extra Hour, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. If you missed the first hour, you've got to catch the first hour. Talking about how we can turn this nation around, understand that we are just like Josiah. Joining me in the extra hour is the producer of BFN Radio program, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Also, if you missed the wisdom moment, it really gives you perspective of what's going on in the first hour about how to respond to this healthcare issue. How to respond to, hey, you know, where is Walmart making their clothes? Why are we getting such a good price? Understand this. It's important for how the poor are treated. And if we don't respond to the poor, God will respond on their behalf.
No doubt.
And what you gained out of their poverty will be transferred. And what I see right now when you hear the words transfer, some wealth taking place, people go, I'm offended. And you think, well, hey, that could be a biblical thing. You don't, you don't know what's going on. And you think about it, if 82% of those that profess to be believers are not even reading the word, there's a chance. There's a chance that we could be wrong. We got to be Josiah and find out. But we're talking about faith, incubating your faith, walking out in faith, the power of praise and gratitude and joy and so much more. You're listening to VFM Radio's Extra Hour. Well, here we are. We're in the extra hour. Was that not encouraging? If you miss the first hour, you need to be able to hear and also getting a more perspective on Israel. There's a lot of things you need to have. There's some basic things you need to have in line. Of course, first is your relationship with Jesus Christ, but also your relationship with Israel.
That's right. Yeah.
The apple of God's eye. And it's not something that's just on your news. It's something that's on the heart of God, and it needs to be on your heart. And those who bless Israel
will be blessed.
Be blessed. That's right. And those who pray for Israel, you know, you'll have a peaceful life. But you want to do is just like pay penance and go, well, here's you a couple bucks and Lord help Israel. You'll have a passion, you know, for Israel there. And so we could find out, you know, more about that in the first hour. My goodness, I want to give a shout out to Barbara, who is traveling the roads from the middle of the country.
Yay, Barbara.
Yeah, she was coming through early this morning. She was coming into Louisiana. Mm. And we're looking forward to seeing you arrive on the Emerald Coast really soon.
Can you pick up some beignets on your way in? Pick up some beignets. I'd like to get a couple of those.
You know, at Joe Patty's, they make those now.
Ooh, no.
Really? Patty put something out front.
Out front, isn't it?
They need to cook them a little bit longer. You can tell them to keep them there a little bit longer. But, hey, that's closer than going all the way.
This is true. Doubt.
Yeah, but they have different ones. They put stuff in it. I'm like, is that right? Did you really do that?
I said, that's just a little Rooney beignet.
So Donna got some of those with stuff in it, and I got the fully uncooked ones. No, the
raw.
And I ate one of the ones that she had stuff in. I'm like, hey, I can change my tradition.
Oh, okay.
That was
get
really,
that tradition out of here.
Yeah, and there's this one beautiful lady that works there. That has a lot of beautiful ladies that work there, obviously, but I mean, her waist must be like a size 8 or something. And she says, I eat a beignet every day. And I'm like, that is so unfair.
That's not fair at all.
That is so unfair. What's the stuff about 2.6 billion people in the world population by 2020?
Yes.
What's up with that?
Yes. Check this out.
Right. How many are there now? 68, 69?
No, I think there's like, 6, 7 billion people?
Between 6 and 7, yeah.
Yeah, they're saying this. That came out. Christian Post is reporting it.
6,362. Give me my accountant.
Okay, go ahead.
54. Oh, you messed me up. You messed me up. Go ahead.
Well, there's a study right now that there'll be 2.6 billion of the world's population is expected to be Christian by 2020.
How many do they say the count is now?
They didn't say. But what they said was during measured different the continents from 1970 till that year 2020, Africa 1970 had 142 million Christians. By 2020, it'd be 630. The continent of Africa, Asia. They compared the study from 1970. They're projecting what it will be like. You know, where growths are going to be and decline. Mm-hmm. In Asia, there was 94 million believers in 1970, and by 2020, you're looking at 420 million Christians are expected to be in the continent of Asia. In Europe, those 491 million in 1970, and it will only be 580 million in 2020. They said there's being a decline in Europe, and you see that around, I believe, France has 1% Christians.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how the intermingling with why that's happening, because they're intermingling Christian with the state. They were just getting it all, just all mixing it in.
Right, and saying, like Germany.
Yeah, they're saying, don't mix it. You know, stand alone. It's not King George right here. You know what I'm saying? Let's keep this apart. Let's keep this apart here. But that's where that dilution was happening. In Latin America, 269 million in 1970. And by 2020, they expect 600 million. 600 million believers. And so this global, I mean, it's just, you're seeing a global total that started out in 1970. This is the global numbers. Started at 1.2 billion, and you're looking at 2.6 billion. It's pretty amazing. But this is the sad part right here, that in North America, it's including, I guess, United States and Canada, in 1970, there was 181 million believers, 1970. And by 2020, they expect about 308 million. 308 million. That's that's one of the smallest percentage increase. I don't even think that's double.
Some of the decisions they're making, too, is they're bringing in Islam and allowing it to also infiltrate the government in regards to, you know, government and the faith, and where it's, France is amazing what they're saying, what they're doing towards Israel. This is, I can't believe what they're doing, where they're broadcasting things against Israel that are not true, knowing it's not true. Their citizens are telling them it's not true. The television stations are suing the citizen, one citizen, by the way, for even saying that the broadcast wasn't true. I mean, say that. They sued him, and he, after years, he won it in court, but then the appeals court in France appealed it and overthrew it because they're more concerned about their pride and their honor than they are about being right. And that, and it's about the, it was about the Palestinian, they said, that was shot by Israeli Defense Force, and the video they showed that promoted all this stuff, and then they got this young guy's name everywhere. He wasn't killed by Israeli Defense Force. They even have a video of the little boy with his head down. They saying that he was shot. They have another video of him actually looking up under his arm, to looking over at the other guy. I mean, it just wasn't true. Wow. But they just made this whole lie up. And you think
they lie?
That's why France is going the way they're going. What, 1%?
One percent of France is actually believers. Right.
So that's why you see France taking that demonic stand against Israel, because there's no light. There's very little light there.
Very, very little light.
Which means that's where you go to preach the gospel, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
And that changes the heart of man.
Yeah. Because light belongs in darkness. They're saying that agnosticism is the second largest tradition in every country in North America, and it's projected in the United States to triple in 2020. And so you're looking at all these numbers. I mean, I tell you, Asia, and you look at what's happening in Asia and in the underground church, is very, very exciting. Because, you know, they went through a great period of persecution, at least the Chinese church. But you see that great persecution produced so much fruit for the kingdom.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you know. I think there's a trend here. Book of Acts, there was some persecution that started, and then the church began to grow.
Right.
And so since we're lacking in numbers in North America by 2020, I don't know.
Yeah. There is a way. There is a way. You know, and a lot of our listeners that are connected to us around the world, and we give a shout out to all of our listeners in the Middle East and in all the in India, and can't name all your countries that are out there, you know, and all of our American listeners, that you guys are really giving us the perspective that we need, how there is light. There's Christianity in all these places.
Yes.
And to know that we can walk together and encourage you, and believe me, by you joining us and our audience, you've encouraged us and are broadening our perspective to understand how we need to be there, and how to have a gospel that's the true gospel that fits in every nation for every people, because God loves all men. Wish that all men would be saved. And so we should give a shout out to all of our listeners out there. Sad to say, I would actually name some of your names right now, but I wouldn't be good, able to listen.
Well, look what's happening in Egypt. I mean, just the new president on his cabinet was able to put some Christians on his cabinet, where before the Muslim Brotherhood was actually persecuting Christians in Egypt. You're just seeing, I mean, I think in America, so many times we're ignorant as mm-hmm. what's going on in other countries and in terms of coming to Christ and believers. And let me tell you something, there are Christians all over the world. All over the world. And I think about those two young ladies in Iran. We spoke about them on VFN radio, that both of them together, I think they handed out 20,000 Bibles together in Iran in a backpack mm-hmm. and were sentenced to Evin prison. And one of the ladies describes that the worst day in Evin notorious prison, where they beat people and just horrific things occur. Mm-hmm. The worst day for her, and there was over a year that they were in prison, was the day that she didn't feel the Lord's presence. And it's like, Lord, you know, I want to be able to suffer good. You know what I mean? Help us right. when you see that type of love and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ and what they're willing to do. Amazing.
It's like, oh my goodness, we won't even be king. I can imagine. We won't even
trying to be Josiah here.
Oh, it's a government by the people, for the people. Oh, I hate watching the news.
Oh my goodness.
Like, you know, I got to read the whole Constitution. Yeah. You have the Cliff Notes on it.
Who is this running for president?
Is there an app for that?
They only just spent $1 billion getting their name out, and you don't know who's running.
Yeah. Can somebody just tell me what? Here's the out of total. They'll tell you what the Constitution says. My goodness. But you know what? There's nothing like a suddenness that can begin to Dad has a way of motivating his sons.
Oh, yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
And daughters, his children. Well, you know, if you think about this, that those that the Lord uses, quite often people are trying to, you know, get so perfect so that God can use you. And hopefully we've proven by now. You don't have to be.
This is true.
But the
no doubt.
But you think about this, you know, as I was spending time abiding and in the Word and just praying, meditating on God's Word, I was reading through the book of Mark and Mark chapter 16. You know, this is when Jesus has been risen. He's already been risen from the dead, and he's speaking to he appears to Mary after his resurrection, and he says, listen, go tell the disciples that I'm here, mm-hmm. you know. And she did. You know, she went and told them, and they didn't believe her, and they didn't believe him who sent her, right? Mm-hmm. And so then he appears to a few others, and he says, you know, go and tell them, and they go and tell them, and they still don't believe. These are the ones that he walked with for 3 years that they saw everything that we read about, right?
And he told them he was coming back.
Yeah, he told them he's coming back. And then then he shows up. And obviously they're like, huh? I'll be doggone.
Look at here.
Look here. And Mary's like, I told you so. I told you. And then Jesus, the resurrected Christ, rebukes them for not believing their stubborn refusal to believe and their lack of faith. Mm. But then the next thing we read about is, so then he commissions them.
Right.
Jesus commissions them and sends them out to preach the message about him so that we can actually receive that message, believe that message, and enter into the kingdom of God. And then he said, and he did, he said, and these signs will, listen, I'll even bring signs of, you know, deliverance and tongues and, you know, you'll be able to survive persecution and healings and all these things taking place. And when you say the words that I tell you to say, when you say my word, I'll back it up, confirming it. I'll work with you in this. And it's like, how many people would have said, listen, I just died on the cross for your sins.
Right.
I just died on the cross for your sins. I've walked with you. I mean, you're the 11 that I, you know, you're the 11 that I walked with. And you don't even believe by now? Mm. And so then he, you know, he expresses himself. He rebukes them. God, Emmanuel, rebukes the disciples.
Hmm.
Now, if you're a disciple, you're going like, oh, man, we went to Jesus University for 3 years here. We thought we were about to graduate. And then this happened. The tragedy happened. And then we're thinking there's hope. But then he shows up and he's like, he's rebuking us. You know, and then he says, okay, get ready for the commissioning ceremonies next.
Right.
I mean, think about it.
Wow.
The timing of that.
Right.
You know, I'm fixing to commission you to go into all the world and preach the good news of the gospel to everyone. And those that believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And he says, and these signs will follow you. And so he's got all this tool chest of the kingdom. He's just handing him this tool chest. And then he says, listen, you know, do it in my name. He even put his name on people who had a stubborn refusal to believe what Mary was telling him. But think about it. That's just amazing, isn't it?
That's right.
Mm.
But then it makes me think about, you know, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. When he's talking to us, you know, think about what you were when you first were called. You know, none of you were noble birth. Y'all remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and as a matter of fact, I think I have it right here. He says, none of you were of noble birth. He says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. None of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Mm. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things of the world and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. And you think about this. This is a God plan to use flawed vessels, broken vessels, clay pots, crackpots,
mm-hmm.
made of clay, to put his all-surpassing power in jars of clay to show that this is him. Somebody says I keep being human and messing up the message. It's like, no, they see your humanity. You're actually helping the message.
Yeah,
because they know that wasn't you that did that.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They know that word of knowledge wasn't you. They know that healing came from God and not from you. And here he was rebuking them for their stubborn refusal to believe and their lack of faith. And then he said, get ready for the commissioning ceremony. I mean, think about it. Getting ready for the commissioning ceremony. That's powerful.
Yeah.
That's powerful. It didn't, you know, he's just, you know, teaching along the way is so important. That's what Jesus is, just teachable moments. And when we get the wrong perspective, people are like, oh, my goodness, you're teaching me about means I must have failed. I must have made a mistake. And it's like, this is a teachable moment. This is a teachable mm-hmm. moment for us to learn the ways of God. And it didn't mean that it was over. It just meant, hey, that what you just did is not the way it's supposed to happen. And from this point on, you need to not be so stubborn, and you need to believe.
Right.
You know, and he says, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Galatia. He says, listen, does God do these signs amongst you, these miracles amongst you, because you obey some law, or because you believe?
Mm.
You know, stubborn refusal to believe will produce a stubborn reality of no power in your life, no signs, no wonders, no miracle, no souls in your life. And it's just, I want to encourage you today that even in that whole journey right there, and they went to Jesus University, you know what I'm talking about, for 3 years, one-on-one practicum. They saw the dead rise. They saw the living fall dead. They saw, you know, power of God. They saw everything take place. The whole world was turned upside down by Jesus. And then they saw him pay the price on the cross. And then they're seeing him now come back. But prior to that, they were thinking like, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that you believe because you see, but blessed is he who doesn't see and believes. And that's today's church, that we believe because Christ lives inside of us. Listen, even if you doubted, even if you struggled, even if you were thinking, well, this just couldn't be in regards to how God can use you, understand this. God does use the weak things of the world, the things that are not, to nullify the things that are. Get ready for your commissioning ceremony.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love you just the way you are. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Does your child feel loved no matter what? Dr. Walt Larimore shares two simple questions he used to ask of his son, Scott.
My granddad taught me something that was irreplaceable in dealing with Scott as he grew up, and that was to tell Scott, I would ask him, Scott, what is one thing you can do to make me love you more? And the answer was, nothing. And I would follow that by asking, what's one thing you can do that would make me love you less? And the answer is, nothing. Now, there's some things you can do I won't like, and where you'll cross over a line and there'll be consequences. But you will never change my love for you.
Unconditional love, like God's love, will be your most powerful tool as a mom or a dad. Hear more from Dr. Walt Larimore today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to at VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter now. It's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire. Just let us know what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, here we are. We are just hoping to encourage you today, hoping to give you a perspective. Maybe it was the first hour. Maybe it was the second half of the first hour. Maybe it's this, what you're about to hear. We're hoping during our conversation, that's what we're having, just a conversation with you that can just be a conversation of light. You know, he tells us to go be the light of the world, mm-hmm. to let your light shine in darkness. And there's so many dark conversations that happen in our everyday life now. I mean, dark media, mm-hmm. dark news, you know, dark everything. Mm. But we're supposed to shine our light in the midst of all that, and it brings hope. And that's why it's so important. What we're hoping to do for our audience is to bring a light perspective, to bring a light perspective to your life.
I was just reading in the Word where, you know, we don't take a light and put it underneath a bed or under a basket. I mean, and I've heard that scripture before. I'm sure we all have. Mm-hmm. We're pretty familiar with it. But I had a chance just to visualize that. So how silly would that look to take a lamp and put it underneath a bed? Just right. Like, what in the world?
You'd have a bigger light.
Yeah.
Unless it was a water pit.
Yeah. Right.
It's like a small, I'm thinking a small miniature lamp, you know?
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you think about it, it's like, it's just so full. It's just out of place. And yet you think, you see so much light. We're supposed to have light. We're not supposed to put it underneath the bed or under a barrel. But we're supposed to be in places where light belongs, in the darkness. There's two places for light. In darkness, and it's not supposed to be together. Light with light, it's not necessary. You know, right. There's too many of us here. We've got to scatter. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But that's what it's all about. Because let me tell you something. We're living in dark times in a dark world with dark media, a dark pop culture that just feeds on more dark. And instead of running away from it and being afraid of it, we need to run into it.
And that's why, you know, the Lord has sent us into the world to be light. Mm-hmm. And we can say, you know, we can yell at the darkness all day long.
Hello.
Until we start shining our light, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, you think about it, that we're called to be men and women of faith. We're saved by faith. We move by faith. We walk by faith. But the understanding of what faith is such a rarity. It's such a rarity in today's church, operating in faith. What we do is we quite often operate in what we know and our knowledge and practicum and logic and wisdom of the world and you know, 1 + 1 = 2. But a miracle is when God causes 1 + 1 to equal all that you will ever need. Mm-hmm. Mm. And you think about faith, things that our faith is believing for. Things are conceived in the spirit realm before they're manifested in the natural realm. As children, think about this. As children are conceived in the womb, faith is first conceived, I guess you could say, in our spiritual room, in our heart. Just as much as a baby is a baby in the womb, a natural baby is a natural baby in the womb, so it is on the outside of the womb, the same baby, but you can't necessarily see it. It's only the one who actually has the womb that's carrying this child knows that it exists. Mm-hmm. Unless others, doctors, for example, find a way to take a peek inside the womb, ultrasound, to see if the child's there. But the mother knew the child, or the ones that conceived this child knew that that child was there all along. A child, as a child is conceived and goes to this whole period of incubation in the womb, so faith has a period of being conceived in our spirit, man, and goes through a period of incubation. You think about Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 in the King James. He says, the Word of God says, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence, or faith is a substance. I mean, think about it, a tangible substance, spiritual substance of things hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance in the spiritual realm. Mm. Faith is evidence of things to come, but not yet seen with the natural eye. Hebrews 11:6 lets us know, without faith, without this reality of this evidence and the substance, it's impossible to please God. You think about the centurion. The centurion, Jesus tells the centurion when he speaks with his words what he believes in his heart. And he says, all you have to do is say the words. You don't have to even come to my home. And Jesus says, oh, I haven't seen such great faith in all of Israel. It'll be done as you believed that it was. And he's saying, I haven't seen in all of Israel someone that had the greatest amount of the substance which pleased me the most. Mm-hmm. There's a period of incubation. Just like you can't just say, hey, I want a child, and you don't even, it's not conceived, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's not, you're not willing to go through the process of all the trimesters and taking care of that child while nobody else can see it, but you have that child inside of you. There are incubation, if you would, incubation periods in your faith. And the very first, and everyone is so important, you can't move on to the second one. There's four phases of it, pretty much, you can describe them. And you can't move into the second phase or the third phase or the fourth phase without actually dealing with the first phase. They build on each other. Mm-hmm. And so many people are trying to move in the fourth area of this incubation period. And it's like, you haven't even conceived anything yet.
Hello.
You know? You haven't even conceived it. And the four simple phases are, you can describe them as this. you know, have it and envision what you're wanting, what you're believing God for, a clear cut objective in your life. You know, what do you want from God? I don't know. Just ask him to, what? You know? And the second is having a burning passion for that which you have a clear-cut vision for. The third is, and we'll talk about this a little bit, is praying for assurance, the timing of God and the blessing of God and the alignment of God in the context of what's going on. And finally, it's speaking that vision, speaking that word out. There's four primary aspects of that. And the first is envisioning. For since faith is being sure and certain, right? Sure of what you hope for, certain of what you don't see, as the NIV says, it is a substance and evidence, as the King James is talking about and describes it. Since many ask and do not receive because they do not ask in alignment with God's word, it's important for us to make sure that what we're conceiving, what we're believing for, what we're envisioning, what we're getting a clear-cut vision, that it's actually in alignment with the word of God. Mm-hmm. It'd be a shame to waste all that energy, all that time, and go through that religious exercise and end up with nothing. He says the reason why people ask and don't get, because they ask amiss. They don't ask in alignment with God. And secondly, it's important to not take a carnal view of this revelation that I'm talking about and think that you can manipulate God with your faith and find it. And you're going to find out that the kingdom of God operates. This is how it operates. It's not a way to manipulate God and to get your way. It's not, you know, God knows your heart. It's a secret, if you would. A secret in the kingdom of God. And so it's important to get a clear-cut vision. You need to understand. I mean, so you're asking, so you know, if somebody's asking for, believing God for a car, for example, I mean, if you don't even have the transportation, but you don't say, do you want a car? Do you want a bus? Do you want a subway ticket? I mean, what do you want?
Right.
I don't know. Just get me there. Yeah. Well, listen, that's not faith. Mm-mm. Because faith buys into the reality that you have to carry this thing. You have to see it. You have to have a defined reality. And this Jesus said, will the Son of Man even find faith when he returns? You're going to have to do the work, the groundwork. And quite often, because many don't understand this, they don't realize there's groundwork you have to do. You know, this is what a lot of people may say. They say, I'm working on something. And what they're doing is developing a clear-cut vision in their heart. They're trying to see it and understand it and fully have it inside their heart. Conceive it, inside of their spiritual womb, their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important, because how in the world are you going to have a burning passion? What is the next aspect of this without, you don't even have a burning passion for what?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for subway rides, you know, for bus rides, for, you know, a station wagon, a tricycle, a bicycle, you know, what is it? And understand that it is okay. This is how God's designed you. You're supposed to take your imagination and force it to be in compliance with the will and the word of God. Well, the will and word of God is for you to move in faith, which means you're going to have to do the groundwork and begin to hack out an understanding, and sometimes just seeing others walking into what you feel like you're supposed to walk into. If you think you're supposed to be, you know, a businessman or businesswoman that has a CEO of their own company or something of that nature, you're going to have to hang around somebody, probably the CEO, to get at you a grid.
Yeah.
You know, what does that look like to own your own company? What does it look like to be the chief executive officer? What does it look like? Hey, I want to, you know, I want to have a good marriage. And somebody's, you know, you're going to have to find out, what does that really mean? Do you have a grid for that? Do you hang around people that have a good marriage? Do you know what does God say about, you know, you can believe God for in the context of that? Financial blessing, all these different things. So understanding that ministry, you know, understanding what God has called us to do as believers to go into minister. And so you have to have, that has to be a blueprint, if you would, for what is going to be built. When you look at blueprints, you know, blueprints are not the house, for example, that's going to be built. But without the blueprints, you can't build the house.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're going to have to write down the design of this house, and you're going to have to put it down so specifically that somebody who doesn't even know you yet, who you haven't even hired yet, is going to take your blueprint, and they're going to go, and they're going to take those blueprints, and they're going to order material, and they're going to hire people to build, and they're going to take their ruler, and they're going to put it all over that building, and the house is being built based off the blueprints that you drew up.
Come on.
So if you ain't got no blueprints, how is he going to build you something? You're going to have to actually write this down to understand what that is. And so, and this is where a lot of people are like, I don't want to, you know, just whatever. I don't want to do the work. I don't want to do the work. Well, then you can't complain about how life is. You can't complain about what other people are doing when they're trying to do the work.
That's right.
you know, and understand. But if you'll do that, the next phase, once you clearly understand, you got those blueprints, you can flip it. This is the roof design. This is the foundation. This is the footer. This is the walls. This is how many rooms it is. It's sheetrock. It's whatever, you know, marble cabinets. I don't know what it is.
Couple toenails.
Couple toenails. That's a building angle for a nail. And so once you have that down, the next phase is going to be easier for you because you're going to need, you can't move beyond the second phase until you get the second phase. You're going to have a burning passion. People say, well, you need to move quicker. Don't you understand? It's like, well, no, if you don't have the burning passion yet for what you believe in God for and this clear-cut vision, don't move beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the next phase is you're going to have to pray for assurance. But how are you going to talk to God in confidence and surety about something you don't even have a passion for?
That's right.
It must not be God because I don't have a passion for it. No, it could be because you're under attack. It could be you have to fight for it. You have to begin to pray for it until God begins to stir your heart till you just so desperately want this thing to manifest what you have inside of your heart. You just can't stop until it manifests what's inside of you, this baby's birth.
That's right.
And then once you get to getting a burning passion is, this is so important because faith believes strongly. And that it's so strong that it's like you're already operating in that which you're believing for. You're already beginning to make time for it and to plan around it and to invest in it and to make room for it. And that you're thanking God for it. And this requires a burning passion for that which you're having faith for. It's important to soak in a season of prayer and meditation on Scripture, abiding with God until you have that burning passion. And it has to be released to you. You know, quite often it's difficult because how do you get a burning passion over a greedy vision?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But when you lay down your life for God and begin to believe God for what His will is on this earth, is that really hard to do? Because the Creator of the universe is in alignment. You're in alignment with God.
Right.
That's a faith builder in itself. And once you get this burning passion, you can see, for example, the example I gave with the blueprints in the house, it's still just blueprints. It's in your heart. No house is built yet. But in the burning passion, it's like, you know, you're starting to see stuff where things are going to go in your house, or you're seeing how this ministry is going to work, or you're seeing how this business is going to work, and you just kind of see it.
Mm-hmm.
And some people say when things manifest in the natural sense, people say, well, how can you just move so quickly? It's like, I've been moving in this thing about 10 years ago.
Right.
I've been doing some work, you know. And then after you got this burning passion, and this is where another thing happens, where people begin to move without a blessing, without assurance.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have a time where it could be right, but it could be the wrong timing. But now that you're actually understanding clearly what you're asking God for, which is you're not doing a half ask, you know, like half-hearted asking God of things, because you have a burning passion for it, your time of prayer is meaningful. It makes sense. You're articulating it. God can see your faith, that you're ready for it. It's time to be released. But, you know, you have to understand this, that the timing might not be right. Just because you can see it clearly, just because you have a burning passion for it, doesn't mean you need to run off, you know, like a maverick and mm-hmm. begin to try to make something happen, because now you left God in the whole context of what's going on right here. You're going to need to pray for assurance from God. But understand this, that some people say, hey, you should just pray once and just walk out. Well, no, what Jesus said, on the contrary, He said you should pray and keep asking until you receive. The lady who wanted justice continued to pray, and she continued to ask. Why? You continue to ask and pray until it's conceived inside of you, till you feel that release inside of you, because you're going to have to. It's going to have to manifest in your heart fully, where the timings of God is right for you to begin to get that blessing from God. And how you know you got assurance is all of a sudden there's peace. You already had the clarity. You already had the burning passion, which was a dangerous time for you because you could have ran out and you could have launched that business too soon. You could have done something too soon. But you got on your knees and you just meditated, and proverbially on your knees. Maybe you did get on your knees. And you just paused and you sought the Lord for getting that timing and that assurance. Then all of a sudden that peace just settles in. I can clearly see it. I got the passion for it. Now I got the permission for it. Mm-hmm. And now you have the release to be able to do the fourth phase, what we're talking about. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You just really wouldn't think it's possible. I mean, how could this be? Why would anybody really want to harm us? Why would anybody want to reprogram the way we think? Why would anybody want to fundamentally transform our nation from its original founding fathers' intent as God, as our foundation? Why would anybody want to take over our children's lives? Well, the reason why is because they say a hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. When you train your children up in the way that you want them to go, that's how they'll go. God's called us to train our children in the way they should go. But let's just don't take our word for it. Let's look back at history and see what happened when they found out what Hitler was doing in the very same time with the church trying to de-Christianize a nation. And that's what's happening today in America. You're looking at in every corner and every infeeding of news and media and presentation is to just remove God out of the public arena, to de-Christianize America. But it's just the sins of the past. Listen up.
In 2002, a Jewish law student uncovered a report from the Nuremberg trials in the 1940s. It was compiled by members of the OSS, an American spy agency in World War II. The report was called The Nazi Master Plan, The Persecution of the Christian Churches. And it laid out a step-by-step plan to de-Christianize Germany. Take over the churches from within, using party sympathizers. Discredit, jail, or kill Christian leaders. Re-indoctrinate the congregants. Give them a new faith in Germany's Third Reich. So where were Germany's Christians in all of this? Most of them were too frightened to protest. But a small remnant of Christians did stand up against the Reich Church. A group of 3,000 Protestants, known as the Confessing Church, openly defied Hitler and paid the price.
Adolf Hitler said, "I'll make those damned parsons feel the power of the state in a way they had never believed possible. If I ever have the slightest suspicion that they're getting dangerous, I will shoot the lot of them."
700 pastors from the Confessing Church were arrested. Many of them were murdered or sent to concentration camps.
There is such a thing as evil, and this man is evil. Hitler has no permanent loyalties. If you cross him, you'll die.
Understand that that is the ultimate goal of adversary Satan, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That actually happened. Removing the knowledge of the Jews and God's people from the land. Concentration camps. That was what the end result was. JJ, listen, we have to pay attention. Jews and Jesus, understand this. The church and the Jews won't end up well if we continue in this direction. De-Christianizing America? Well, we need to stand up like the Confessing Church did and say, no, no more. As for me and my house, as for me and my city, as for us and our nation, we will be one that acknowledges God. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We're talking about faith, how important faith is, and without it, we can't even please God. And we're talking about the incubation period and comparing it to the incubation even of a child that's carrying in a womb for a nine-month period. And there's an incubation period for your faith. And we talked about three phases of the four phases, kind of breaking it down a little bit. And the fourth phase we want to talk about, if you missed the others, you need to catch it, but is you've already done the groundwork into getting a clear vision. You've already began to seek for the burning passion. Then you pray for assurance, the timing, the blessing, the permission of God. Mm-hmm. But now you have that. It's time for you to begin to do something very, very important. You're going to have to begin to speak the vision. Begin to speak it. Well, you know, you think about how important speaking is and saying is. Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, Jesus says, have faith in God. I mean, think about that. Have faith in God. Because he's talking about the fig tree. You know, they passed the fig tree. The fig tree was fruitless. He cursed the fig tree. They come back the next day. The fig tree was all withered up, even down to the roots. And they say, wow. And he says, listen, have faith in God.
That's right.
What does that mean? That means he wants us to do what I'm talking about. He wants us to live in this realm of trusting in him and believing in him and being a creator as he's a creator and begin to speak things into existence. Then he says, I tell you the truth. And so this is the truth. He's talking about the truth about faith, about how things work. He says, I tell you the truth. If anyone, and anyone includes you, me, and everyone that's listening, if anyone says to this mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done for him. But you can see, if you haven't done the groundwork, you're going to be just mowed over. Mm-hmm. You're going to be totally mowed over if you haven't went through these processes that I'm talking about here. Because the enemy's going to try to come in and sow doubt right away. But listen, if you got clarity, and you've got a passion, and you got permission, and you have the timing and the peace of God, mm-hmm. I mean, it's going to be hard to mow you over.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? It's going to be hard to mow you over, and the enemy will try. This is what Jesus is telling us. And then he says, therefore, I tell you, whatever, which means, listen, whatever your vision is, what you're believing God for, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Hmm. I mean, he's talking with from fig trees to mountains to whatever and to whoever. You think about it. Now that you've done the work of faith, you have the clear-cut vision, you have the burning passion, you have the assuring peace and the permission of God. It's time to begin to speak things out. I'm telling you, it's not a difficult thing to do at this point if you followed what I'm talking about in the context of these phases of doing the groundwork for your faith. But it is required. If you don't speak it out, it's not going to happen. Mm. I mean, it's just not going to happen. And the word spoken from someone who has done this work are a powerful substance, because when they're loosed out in faith, it releases the angels of God, the spiritual realm of God, to begin to take those words and begin to build on the outside what was already built in your heart on the inside. Mm-hmm. It takes the blueprints that's in your heart and begins to build that thing and establish it.
Wow.
These words that you're speaking are building materials in the natural realm. It is the conduit between what is in your womb of your spirit and what's going to be made manifest in the eyes of men. Isn't it interesting how someone who is able to speak well ends up having many followers, whether they're good or whether they're evil? It was the speeches of Hitler that led a people into captivity, Jews into the ovens in the concentration camps, and the world into war. Mm. One man's speeches that he clearly wrote out. He even wrote his own Bible. I mean, he clearly had a vision for what he was, an evil vision.
Yeah.
But yet it was the words of God from the mouth of his son, Jesus Christ, on the Sermon on the Mount that shapes our life. And we live our life by words that were spoken out. This is how it should be. And it's our words that we live by. It's his words, the words of the preceding words of God that come out of the mouth of God that we live by. The thing is, it's like, what words are coming out of our mouths? All of America leans forward every 4 years listening to the speeches of those who desire to be the president of the United States. And the one or more speeches, often with one or more speeches, often a majority of our nation favors. Mm. The nation's favor is turned towards one candidate and they select him. What? It's based off of speech. It's what they're saying.
Wow.
For years, I would say to myself, no, not just the speech, not just words. There needs to be something behind it, right. You know? But every single year, all the years, you go, oh, that's the reality. That's how things work.
Yeah.
And because that's how we're designed that way. We're designed that way. What is important to remember, it's important to remember that we can create good or evil. Because we've been created in the likeness, the image and the likeness of the Creator himself. But remember, also in the end, we'll be judged accordingly. Therefore, if one man's speech can turn a nation, what can your speech turn? If you have a clear-cut vision, a burning passion, and permission and peace from God, if you begin to speak out what God has formulated, you and God together have formulated on your heart, what are you building for God? Are you like the centurion who had the greatest measure of the substance which pleased God the most? Do you speak the word of faith? Did you know the promise comes by faith? Everything comes by faith. That we serve a God who calls things that are not as though they were. Why? Because that's how we're called to be. We begin to speak those things that are in our heart out. And they begin to happen. Jesus said, if you say to this mountain, if you say, if you speak, we're not waiting on God. He's waiting on us to begin to have faith. He says, have faith in God. The thing about it is we've stepped outside the will and the word and the ways of God, and so everything is amiss. But if we'll move back in and move out of this 82 percentile, not even reading his expectations, his word, and get back into the word of God, begin to abide with God, and begin to let God, allow God's word to shape us and to mold us. Listen, there comes a point in time in life, all you have left is your faith. But your faith will bring you to everything else, including eternal life. Listen, we're called to be men and women of faith. Without it, it's impossible to please God. Understand, quit living so much on what you see. Quit banking everything on what you see, all your senses. Begin to see different things in your heart. Begin to get clear-cut vision, godly vision, for what's going to happen in your business, in your family, in your ministry, in your state, in your nation, in the world. I have a vision for a third grade awakening.
Mm. Yeah.
It could transform a nation. I can see a church alive and hearing from God and children hearing the voice of the Lord and all believers who claim the name of the Lord, laying hands on the sick and they're recovering, ministering in the name of God. I can see it. The praise coming out, new sounds coming out, and the ground giving up its harvest, and the blessing of God once again on our nation. What are you seeing?
You know, it's so powerful because when we begin to line up together and start sharing what God is doing in our heart, what we're praying, what we're believing for, we'll begin to see these things happen. That's how the Bible says the power of life and death is in the tongue. And that's why it's so important that we walk together in unity, we walk together in faith, because when you release words that are contrary to what someone is believing, when you have words that are spoken out in a negative format, they begin to just speak like a doubt over a cloud, and it'll start to erode that faithful stand. That's one of the things that you must be careful about, because if doubt comes in, It destroys the very thing. You went through all the all of the phases just by one word that was being released.
And you know, see how important it is to go through each of those phases so that when the attack comes,
that's right,
that you can stand the attack.
Because it will come.
It will come. But if you didn't do that work, and it's easy to sow doubt into confusion already.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And if you're panicking, somebody's going to ask you to explain it. You know, you're in trouble already.
That's right. That's right.
But with that, too, understand the power of vision. You're right. The power of vision, that's what God has called us to do. He says, listen, when you think about Habakkuk, when he says, you know, I positioned myself to hear from God.
Mm.
And this is what he said. He said, write it down. Write down the revelation. Write down the vision.
Mm.
You know, make it plain. Write it on tablets. Write it on paper. You know, write it down where other people can understand it and run with it. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come to pass.
Right.
And understanding that once God reveals, once you have that revelation, it's about writing it down and making it clear, which means you got to do some work. But it pays off because you're able to be strong and confident. And you need confidence. And confidence will come when you actually can clearly understand what and why and how you're doing what you're believing God for.
That's right.
Right. I like what Dr. Cho has his book, The Fourth Dimension. He talks about how he was believing God for a chair with wheels on it.
A chair with wheels.
Because he wanted to be really important.
Right.
Mm. He was believing God for an American bicycle because they lasted longer.
Yeah.
Stronger.
Right.
And he was believing God for...
It was a big fancy desk. A big mahogany.
A mahogany desk.
Mahogany desk.
He was very detailed.
I mean, he already jumped the gun with that. A bicycle to a mahogany desk.
Well, this is back in Korea, early, way back in the day.
That's huge.
And, but with that, it was very specific. And when you talk about describing things, it's gonna require you to begin to do the groundwork to get a grip. And that's why God's called you to walk in agreement with someone, maybe a business owner, maybe an apostle, maybe a pastor. Understand, you need to find out where they're going and what they're doing and how they're doing it and what their vision is. And if it's a business owner, you know, that really is going somewhere, they're going to know their vision.
That's right.
And you want to know, first of all, to see if you can walk in agreement with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, there's some companies out there, you know, their vision is to be irreverent.
That's right.
And that's actually their vision. It's like, okay, not that company.
Exactly.
And it's just a powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. I just want to challenge you to get with those that you're walking with and find out the direction of your leaders and say, you know, God, I want to be pleasing to you. I want to be able to walk in agreement and be a part of bringing to pass what's already been birthed on the inside of that leader. I want to see what they're saying manifested, and I know that's contingent upon me walking in agreement with what you've already done inside of them. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.